Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. Well, you know, Tim, since the founding of our organization, I think you were there at the beginning, weren't you?
I was.
In 2003, we have had the pleasure since then of working with literally hundreds of athletic departments all over the country, divisions 1, 2, and 3. And what's really interesting is a few years ago, our department got to start doing surveys with every new athletic department that we started to work with. And over about a 2-3 year period, we got 4,000 survey responses from student athletes across the country. And one of the questions that we asked them are, what are big challenges that you're facing in your everyday life trying to navigate this dual identity of student and athlete? And one of the top answers every single time was time management. There's just not enough time in the day. And I know this is something you've heard in person. This is something you've seen in research. And I think this is a really important subject. And never has it been more important than this moment in history that we're in right now. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
It's so true, especially recently during this COVID-19 time in isolation. I've talked to coaches, student athletes, and most of them are saying most recently to us that I don't know, you know, the coaches go, I don't know what the problem is. I don't know why they're having such a hard time doing their own weight training. I mean, they're on their own. I'm not, you know, making them do anything else or whatever. And I think that there's just disparity between the coach and the student athlete sometimes. Both realize they're busy, but sometimes the coach just wants to say, well, welcome to adult life. You know, you gotta run your life. But if you think with me for just a minute, it's 15 hours of classes, which are now online, 30 hours of practice or weight training, typically, you know, when a season's going on, then another 3 hours of study, you know, on top of the classroom time. That's a full week. But I will say, when I began working with John Maxwell in 1983, 20 years before I started Growing Leaders, I began to learn as a young 20-something that you can boss your calendar. Your calendar doesn't need to boss you. And I'm telling you, I remember getting my master's and doctoral degree, working 60 hours a week, and then doing my studies. And I don't think I'm brilliant. It just was really making every minute count during those times. In fact, I talked to my wife and I said, sweetheart, this semester, just let's get psyched up. It's going to look like this, but we're going to make sure we have date time here, 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 and here, you know, that sort of thing. And so I want to spend some time, Andrew, talking to our listeners, particularly coaches and student athletes, on better ways to really manage their energy and their time so more gets done.
That's so good. Well, I know one of the big challenges in this moment right now, and actually you had a conversation not so long ago with some student athletes, some really talented student athletes about this. But I think one of the challenges that student athletes are facing in this particular moment is not just how do I manage the dual identity of where I am, but how do I manage that without some of the sturdy guardrails, to use our Habitudes language, that I've had for my entire life, right?
Yeah.
Mom or dad were helping me keep on track. I've had a series of coaches who were helping me keep on track. And now it feels like it's just me. I'm the one who's keeping myself on track. And I think a lot of students are going, this is making it even harder than it was before. But anyways, I'd love for you to talk about your experience with those student athletes.
Yeah, so this was a focus group of Division I athletes from a major university that you would all know. Some of them were planning on going to the Olympics in Japan, you know, whenever that happens.
Yeah.
But they were just talking very candidly about, like one said, I just wish I had more hours in my day. And this was at a time where they weren't crunched with practice, classes, studies, you know, this and that. One of them said, it's almost impossible to balance my sport, my classes, and my personal life. And then another one said, I don't think my coach remembers how hard it is to manage a student's week. Now, I would say that could be true. But I would also say all three of those statements, while they're absolutely true, they can be resolved if we become a really good boss to our calendar. And that's really what today is about. So
love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Yep. Well, I don't think there's a better introduction we could give it than that. What I really love is you always approach this practically. And so we've got 8 ideas on how student athletes can better manage their time, and their energy. And we know it's important. So let's get into these. Do you want to lead us through them?
I'll be happy to. So number one on my top eight list here is measure accomplishment, not activity. Now, you're naturally going to manage activity because you keep track of the to-do list. You know, at 3 o'clock is weight training, at 1 o'clock it's study time or whatever. You'll automatically measure inputs. I'm saying, I think because you're a very competitive person and you're very result-oriented, measure accomplishment, not just activity. Don't let yourself become intoxicated with busyness, in other words. Being busy is like a trophy for so many people.
Yeah,
students
is.
And adults, I would say. So forget being busy. Keep score on what you accomplish with your hours. The key to a good life is to score outcomes, not just inputs. Find effective ways to get the results you need. So one example might be, you go, well, here's what I've got to get done. Here's a goal I want to reach.
Yes.
If it only takes 90 minutes instead of 2.5 hours, that's great. Don't worry that you got it done quicker if you got the goal reached. In fact, you might be able to conquer a whole nother mountain that you didn't think you'd get done. So this actually turns out to be a blessing in disguise when you say, I'm going to measure and celebrate what gets done, not just how busy I was today. Conversely, you might have a very busy day and nothing important gets done. So enough said, I'll just say this is a really key one, especially for a competitor like you, who's an athlete or a coach.
Yeah, there is nothing worse than having a very, very busy day, getting to the end of it and realizing nothing of importance actually got done.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what we want to help them avoid by measuring accomplishment, not activity. I love that. All right, number two.
Number two, prioritize quick things first, then first things first. So Andrew, all of our lives, we've heard do first things first. In fact, we actually have a habitude, big rocks first, that's all about doing first things first. But I have found a way to sneak in a little energy giver is to do quick things first. Now, this is just me. It may not work for you. But if you're like me, I'm quite competitive too. I have found that if I'll start my day, one way I get moving is to first tackle an essential task that I can achieve quickly, like in 10 or 15 minutes, check it off the list. And once I get it checked off, I feel I got momentum. And the dopamine is released inside. You know, that sense of, wow, this is awesome. I'm already moving. I'm already moving, you know. And it's really, if nothing else, it's a feeling of momentum. And I'm telling you, momentum is your best friend or your worst enemy. If you've got momentum, you're not as good as you look. If you don't have momentum, you're better than you look because you're just not producing like you know you could and should. So tending to important things ensures that they're likely going to get done, even if others don't. So what I would say is you look at your day, make that list of what's really, really, really important, but then sneak in that quick job that does have to get done, but you can get it done quicker and build momentum.
I love that. Super good insight. And it's you understanding the way that your body works and the way that your brain works. And this is part of what we can offer to the student athletes we're leading is a little bit of education and think about how your brain works and leverage that so that you can get more done, not less done, and start the day off with a really good momentum. So I love that. All right. Number three.
Number three, make routines your subconscious habits. Make your routines your subconscious habits. So I'm not sure how much you know how your brain works. I'm not brilliant, but I learned enough to say this. Our activities on any given day are somewhere between 40 and 60% routines. So if you look at any given day, at least half your day are stuff that's repetitive over and over and over. It's why we talk about the monotony of life. You know, we got a lot of not so sexy, not so glitzy things that need to get done. Feed the dog. Andrew, you guys have a new dog. Feed the dog, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I would say don't use your conscious mind on those things that are routines. Save your brain, the energy in your brain for the stuff that you're trying that isn't a routine and you really need fresh thinking. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So any routine that I do daily, I try to move to a subconscious habit as quickly as possible, from brushing my teeth to getting dressed in the morning, checking emails and evaluating projects. By the way, you probably have all noticed most of your emails can be subconscious. They don't require really good thinking. I'm sorry to say, but it's true. So my goal is to open up as much creative space in my brain for the essential thing I must do on that day. I focus on the new and the crucial items, And I'm not even, in fact, when I, Andrew, I bet this is true about you too. When I'm brushing my teeth, I'm thinking about 12 noon, you know, what am I going to be doing then, you know? And yeah. So that is, I'm able to do that because I don't have to say, now put the toothpaste on the brush, uh-huh. Take it, you know, I know that's silly, but we are hurting our ability to get stuff done when we actually are conscious of habits.
That's such a good insight. It's another great way to understand your brain and what's going yeah. on in there. We've got to get better, especially for a lot of these student athletes who know there's a regular routine exercise that they're supposed to do to start practice. They should be able to do it without thinking.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that they're able to put their brain towards solving a problem or getting better at a specific task. And that could be a game changer for a lot of them.
Absolutely.
All right. That was number 3. Let's move on to number 4.
Number 4, handle each task once. Handle each task once. So, Andrew, one poor habit that tripped me up for years, for many years actually, was looking at a document, let's say, and failing to make a final decision on how to handle it, or reading an email and not responding once and for all, and then it was still lingering. Now it's still there. I got to handle it again, you know?
Yeah.
So, if possible, you should choose what to do with each item that you encounter and execute it so you don't have to look at it again.
Yeah.
Now, I know this sounds easy to do, and it's harder to do than it sounds. But if you'll force yourself to say, I am going to do this particular task and only do it once, and if I have to wait on somebody, then I make sure I lob it out to them, and now it's in their court, and I move on to something else. I think handling something 3, 4, 5, even 7 times is typically what happens in the average American's life, and it's just wasted time when we could have gotten to it right away.
That's such good insight. You're doubling your time on something that you could have done yeah. in a much shorter amount of time.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Number 5.
Number 5, focus on one task at a time. Focus on one task at a time. So this has only been said a million times, but let me say, I have found very few people actually do this well. So we understand that focus is important. We got to be a river, not a flood, to quote one of our habitudes. But sometimes we get into trouble when we look at our entire to-do list and we just get overwhelmed and preoccupied and then even worse, sometimes paralyzed. And then because we're flooding, that's what psychologists call flooding with your brain. You're kind of paralyzed because you're not even sure what direction to take. I would say consider stopping with the multitasking. Neuroscientists tell us our brains actually don't multitask. Did you know that? They actually handle each task one at a time. They may switch gears very quickly, and so you're able to look like you're but you're actually having to switch when you do 2 things or 3 things during one period of time. So don't multitask when it comes to important priorities. Focus on one important task and monotask. We've come to use this term at Growing Leaders, and I really just feel like it's how our brains were actually designed to work. Give it everything you got, drill deep, get one thing done really, really, really well, then shift gears and move on to what's next. But yeah. focus is the greatest gift a person can give themselves, and clarity is the greatest gift they can give to the team they lead.
That's good insight. That's really good insight.
Are you surprised?
Well, I shouldn't be, but
okay.
I love it.
All right,
let's go on to number 6.
Number 6, plan to do something while you wait. Now, this is all something we've done without even thinking, but what I've noticed that's really helped me get more things done if I want to be productive is taking all the waiting time that I got on any given day, and by the way, it's probably more than you think. If you added up all the moments that you spend waiting at a traffic light, waiting on your spouse, waiting on this, waiting on that, waiting on the grocery line, you would be amazed. In fact, you'd probably get discouraged at how much time you're just waiting on somebody else. So much of our lives are spent waiting, waiting on people, results, reports, etc. I try to have something to do whenever I have waiting time. So, Andrew, I keep a book in my car in the glove compartment when I'm waiting at a long traffic light. I've got 2 long traffic lights when I drive to work that are longer than the others. Like, it's 3 minutes. It's just a very busy intersection. And I know if I get stopped and that light just turned red, I got 3 minutes. Now, somebody might say, good grief, it's just 3 minutes. Just enjoy the journey, you know? Well, sometimes I do, and I just relax and quiet. But I may pull out that little book and I'm reading something from John Maxwell, or I'm reading this or that, and I'm getting something done. I don't know. My wife thinks I'm way too overboard on this, but and listeners, you might think that's the same thing. But let me tell you something. I get a lot done every day. If my wife's picking up a dozen eggs at the store and I'm waiting for her in the parking lot, I've got something I got to do. I'm typing something on my phone, or I'm reading an article from my phone. So I just believe in always redeeming the time, unless you need the rest. And if you need the rest, then take the rest without feeling guilty. But if you know you're not being really productive, this might be a way to sneak in productive tasks, because you know you're going to have some waiting time every day.
Yeah. For those people out there wondering how you do 80 events a year and write 3 blogs a week and a podcast every week, now they know, right? You're writing it in the traffic light.
That's true. Yeah. I have literally written things while I'm in traffic. Now, that's a scary thought, I know. And sometimes, Andrew, I bet this happens to you. While you're in traffic, you may get a great thought you want to jot down.
Yes. So I use Siri when I get a great thought in traffic. But yeah, that's exactly right. Sometimes your best idea is happening in those moments, and I don't want to take my phone into the shower with me with ideas in there, but I can write things down when I'm driving. So that's good.
this is a total side trail, and I'll keep it short. But have you ever noticed you're driving to work or whatever, and you get a great thought, and that's the day you get all the green lights? You're not getting any chance.
Yes, you don't have any time to write it down.
And everybody's driving really fast, so you can't even talk to Siri. You're going, oh my gosh, the one day I need some time, I don't have the time. So
I have totally been there. I love that. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that one with us. I think we've got 2 more, so let's go on to number 7.
Yep, number 7. Batch similar tasks to together whenever possible. So this is the bundling idea. Andrew, you and I have talked about this quite a bit, about bundling the types of tasks that you do each day into groups or categories. Our brains get into a rhythm when doing administrative tasks or people tasks or creative tasks. Those are my 3 categories. I have creative tasks like writing blogs or somehow I'm creating something. I have administrative tasks, which are the not so glitzy planning time that I got to do or preparing time that I've got to do, and then people time, where I'm meeting with people. Those 3 categories, they consume about 90% of my day, those 3. There might be an odd one that is there, but those are the big 3. I would say I try to put all my administrative jobs back to back to back, so in that block of 2 hours or whatever, I can get into a groove and actually complete them faster. It's like I stay in fourth gear for a lot longer. Then I move on to people, and it's a whole nother part of my brain where I don't mind just relaxing, talking, laughing, volleying back and forth a thought. It's just a whole nother part of our brain. So when possible, organize your day like this, and you'll find the results will come, I think, much more efficiently.
I love it. And for a student athlete, because of those dual identities, this could be really, really helpful for them. When you're a student, be a student. Then when you're an athlete, be an athlete.
Yeah.
And find a way to block those 2 periods of time together, knock everything out at once, and then shift to the other tasks that you need. So yeah. I love that. All right, let's do the last one, number 8.
Last one, number 8. Evaluate your activities every season or every semester. So because you're in sports, you do this naturally. You keep score on everything, including matches, meets, and games. But I say keep score on your time. So what if you did an audit, a time audit, a calendar audit? We do this in our office. Mm-hmm. And you audit, how did that week go? And you might learn a whole bunch about your life that you didn't know because you weren't paying attention. So problems arise when we just repeat what we've always done, even when some of those activities should be cut from the list. Our lives are full of excess. Most every American would say that. Every 3 to 4 months, list all that you do, all that you have to do, and then choose what you choose to do, and then evaluate if it still belongs there. So some things you have to do, some things you choose to do, make both of those lists and say, what did anything need to be cut? Here's a good example. If you're a student athlete, your have to do's are those classes. So over the summer, unless you're taking summer school, you don't have those have to do's. So now you've got a whole another block of time opening up. But then you can hold a lot of choose to do's because you can have a little bit more autonomy. So this is just very important that you do this. One thing I did recently, Andrew, was I went through my email and I unsubscribed at a lot of things that I had signed up for accidentally, or I don't know, for a lot of my, I got on some list without even trying. I didn't even subscribe. They just put me on a list. But just doing those things feels like spring cleaning. You just feel fresh and clean when you're done and you're ready to move forward.
Absolutely. So don't, never assume just because you did something last semester means that you need to do it again this semester. I think everything should get put back on the chopping block, so to speak. And you got to ask the question of, is this the best use of my time this semester? Because the reality is those things change. Their priorities change from one semester to the other. A lot can change for a student athlete in the midst of their college career. So it's I think this is super important, super important.
Well, and we just need to admit we're creatures of habit. And that's both good news and bad news.
Yeah.
The good news is if you got really good habits, there you are. You're in that rut and it's a wonderful rut. But the bad news is you're right, Andrew, things change. And if we just keep doing a habit without even evaluating it, that can be bad news. So listeners, I want to leave it with a thought real quick and then I'll turn it back over to you, Andrew. Keep in mind, listeners, that you and everyone around you have the same amount of time as Albert Einstein, Mother Teresa, or Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did. Doggone it. And they got a whole lot done. Now, I realize they had different gifts and talents and calling and everything else, but they just made most of their time while they while we often fail to do so. I think there's a lot of people that have a calling and even a giftedness to do much more. They just didn't manage their time very well. So what's most important to you? Is it money? Is it grades? Is it games? Friends? Why not manage your time as well as you manage that money that you are so careful with? And oh boy, might there be a difference. So Andrew, I think I shared with you, I'll even kind of just close with this story and then turn it back over to you. You and I especially have enjoyed having a partnership with the University of Alabama. We love the folks over there in Tuscaloosa, Kevin Allman and Jesse Gardner and others over there. But I remember being with the Emerging Tide Leader student athletes. These were leaders on the teams from all the sports that they have at Alabama. And it's a bunch of them.
Sharp kids.
Men and women, all stellar physical specimens, but really good minds too. And on one of the breaks, we were talking about time and they were agreeing, managing time, toughest thing they've got to do. But as we were talking back and forth on how hard it is, somebody made the comment, time just flies, doesn't it? And they talk about how fast the season had just flown by. But one female student athlete chimed in with something that was like an epiphany for me. She just smiled really big and she goes, time flies, but thank God I'm the pilot. And I thought, that's it. You are bossing your calendar. You're flying that plane, not somebody else. And I think that's the key. Remember, time flies, but you're the pilot.
Is there a better idea to get into the head of a student athlete than that right there, right? I love that. I love that. Well, thank you so much, Tim, for giving us this advice. I hope that this has been helpful for you as you're listening, thinking about ways you can continue to encourage and develop the student athletes under your care. If this is something that's really important to you and we're kind of tapping into one of those really important life skills you want them to learn, there are other life skills to learn as well, which is why we've developed a program called Habitudes for Athletes. We utilize our habitude images. Those are images that form leadership habits and attitudes. And we utilize those to communicate to athletes and on athletic specific issues that we know that they're facing. If you'd be interested in finding out more about that program and how you might be able to utilize it in the locker room or the classroom or even on the practice field, we'd encourage you to go to growingleaders.com and clicking on Habitudes to find out more about it there. Well, as always, if you would rate this podcast, get the word out about what we're doing here. Give us 5 stars. We really appreciate it. Follow us on social media. We love connecting with you there. We are at Growing Leaders and at Tim Elmore pretty much everywhere you are. And then lastly, if you've got ideas for this podcast, people you want us to interview, things you want us to talk about or cover, we would love to get that insight from you. Just shoot us an email. It's podcast@growingleaders.com. Well, Tim, thank you so much again for your insight and wisdom. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time.